Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Memar Yeravam Goldar and Tamer Zechus Yavamis Daf Kuf Yates. The first daf in the 16th and final parak of the Masechta Aisha Basra. So the three dafs we're going to focus on. Number one, the next Mishnah states Aisha Shahalach Baal Vatzaras Al Minyan Sayam. A woman whose husband and Sarah went overseas, and people came and said to her, "Your husband died." She may not marry a stranger nor be taken in Yibum until she determines whether her tsar is pregnant. The more is that while it's understandable that she may not be taken in Yibum, for perhaps her tsar is pregnant and she and her Yavum will be transgressing the Isra B'Shazach, but why may she not marry a stranger? If the concern is that her tsar may not be pregnant so that she's chai to be taken in Yibum, I could say, Halechach Rav Nashim Misabros V'Yodos, follow the majority of women, and the majority of women do conceive and give birth. Therefore, it's safe to assume that Tsar gave birth to a viable child overseas, and she's exempt from Yibum and permitted to a stranger. The Gemara says that the mission is going according to Rabbi Meir, the Chayshul Mimuta, who's concerned for the minority, but according to the Rabban who go according to the majority, the widow would be permitted to a stranger. Point number two, the Gemara suggests that the Mishnah could even be in accordance with the Rabban. For when did they go after the robe? It's only in a case of Ruba de Esakaman, a robe that is before us, like the case of nine stores or a Sanhedrin. The case of nine stores is when meat is found in the street and it's not known whether it comes from one of nine stores that sells kosher meat or from the one store that sells treif. The case of the Sanhedrin is when a Sanhedrin of 23 judges rule and 12 judges vote for acquittal and 11 to convict. In both cases, the majorities are before us and we can rule the meat is kosher and the person is acquitted. But in a case where the majority is not before us, such as in our case, where the majority is based on the premise that most women in the world conceive and give birth, the Rabban do not follow the majority. The Gemara rejects this, for the Rabban permit a minor to do Yibum based on the following majority that is not before us. Since the majority of young boys are not Sirisim and the majority of young girls are not Elanios, they may perform Yibum without concern that one may be, and if they were to do Yibum, they would be doing this with an Erva. The Gemara therefore concludes that our Mishnah is only in accordance with Rabbi Meir. And pointing with you, the next Mishnah states, Shtei Yabamos, if the wives of two brothers return from overseas, Zomer's Meis Bali, Vizomer's Meis Bali. This one says, my husband died, and this one says, my husband died. Zo Asur Bifnei Baal Shozo, Vizo Asur Bifnei Baal Shozo. This one is prohibited to marry a stranger on account of that one's husband, and that one is prohibited to marry a stranger on account of this one's husband. Rashi explains that each woman is prohibited, for perhaps each brother-in-law is alive, and they are chayv in Yibum. They cannot rely on each other's testimony, since we learned in the Mishnah that one of the women who is not believed to give testimony that another woman's husband has died is her Yabimta, her brother-in-law's wife. Rashi explained earlier that brothers' wives tend to dislike each other since they might become each other's tsara in the event of Yibum and are suspect of trying to entrap one another into a forbidden relationship. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The next Mishnah states, Aisha Shahalach Baal Vatzaras Al Minyan Sayam, a woman whose husband and Sarah went overseas, and people came and said to her, your husband died, she may not marry a stranger, nor be taken in Yibum until she determines whether her tsar is pregnant. The more is that while it's understandable that she may not be taken in Yibum, for perhaps her tsar is pregnant, and she and her Yavum will be transgressing the Isra B'Shazach, but why may she not marry a stranger? If the concern is that her tsara may not be pregnant, so that she's chai to be taken in Yibum, I could say, Halechach Rav Nashim Misabros V'Yodos, follow the majority of women, and the majority of women do conceive and give birth. Therefore, it's safe to assume that tsara gave birth to a viable child overseas, and she's exempt from Yibum and permitted to a stranger. The Gemara says that the mission is going according to Rabbi Meir, the Chayshul Mimuta, who's concerned for the minority, but according to the Rabban who go according to the majority, the widow would be permitted to a stranger. Pointing to the Gemara suggests that the Mishnah could even be in accordance with the Rabban. For when did they go after the robe? It's only in a case of Ruba de Esakaman, a robe that is before us, like the case of nine stores or a Sanhedrin. The case of nine stores is when meat is found in the street and it's not known whether it comes from one of nine stores that sells kosher meat or from the one store that sells treif. The case of the Sanhedrin is when a Sanhedrin of 23 judges rule and 12 judges vote for acquittal and 11 to convict. In both cases, the majorities are before us and we can rule the meat is kosher and the person is acquitted. But in a case where the majority is not before us, such as in our case, where the majority is based on the premise that most women in the world conceive and give birth, the Rabban do not follow the majority. The Gemara rejects this, for the Rabban permit a minor to do Yibum based on the following majority that is not before us. Since the majority of young boys are not Sirisim and the majority of young girls are not Elanios, they may perform Yibum without concern that one may be, and if they were to do Yibum, they would be doing this with an Erva. The Gemara therefore concludes that our Mishnah is only in accordance with Rabbi Meir. And point number three, the next Mishnah states, Shtei Yabamos, if the wives of two brothers return from overseas, Zomer's Meis Bali, Vizomer's Meis Bali. This one says, my husband died, and this one says, my husband died. Zo Asur Bifnei Baal Shazo, Vizo Asur Bifnei Baal Shazo. This one is prohibited to marry a stranger on account of that one's husband, and that one is prohibited to marry a stranger on account of this one's husband. Rashi explains that each woman is prohibited, for perhaps each brother-in-law is alive, and they are chayv in yibum. They cannot rely on each other's testimony, since we learned in the Mishnah that one of the women who is not believed to give testimony that another woman's husband has died is her yibimta, her brother-in-law's wife. Rashi explained earlier that brothers' wives tend to dislike each other since they might become each other's tzara in the event of yibum and are suspect of trying to entrap one another into a forbidden relationship. All right, so now we go to our Simmer Daf Kuf Yud Tes, and our standard simmon is a kite. A kite. So here goes. The woman whose husband died overseas and decided to fly a kite while she was waiting to hear if her tzara was pregnant was embarrassed when it flew over 9 kosher stores in one trefon and landed on a piece of meat right in between the wives of two brothers who claimed their husbands had passed away. Once again, in slow motion. The woman whose husband died overseas and decided to fly a kite, that must be one Daf Kuf Yud Tes. The woman whose husband died overseas and decided to fly a kite while she was waiting to hear if her tzar was pregnant, which reminds us, the Mishnah stated, Ha'isha Shahalach Ba'alav Tzaras L'Midian Siyam, a woman whose husband and tzara went overseas and people came and said to her, your husband died, she can't marry a stranger nor be taken in Yibum until she determines whether her tzara is pregnant. The Gemara asks, why she may not marry a stranger? If the concern is that her tzara may not be pregnant so that she's chai to be taken in Yibum, I could say, follow the majority of women, and the majority of women do conceive and give birth. Therefore, it's safe to assume that Tzara gave birth to a viable child overseas, and she's exempt from Yibum and permitted to a stranger. The Gemara says the Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Meir, the Chai Shel Miyuta, who's concerned for the minority. But according to the Rabbanan, who go according to the majority, the widow would be permitted to a stranger. So, the woman whose husband died overseas and decided to fly a kite while she was waiting to hear if her tzara was pregnant was embarrassed when it flew over 9 kosher stores in one trefon and landed on a piece of meat, which reminds us. The Gemara suggests that the Mishnah could even be in accordance with the Rabbanan. For when do they go after the robe? It's only in a case of Ruba de Eitz Kaman, a robe that is before us. Like the cases of 9 stores or Sanhedrin, the case of 9 stores is when meat is found in the street and it's not known whether it comes from one of 9 stores that sells kosher meat or from the one store that sells treif. But in both cases, the majorities are before us and we can rule the meat is kosher and the person is acquitted. But in a case where the majority is not before us, such as in our case, where the majority is based on the premise that most women in the world conceive and give birth, the Rabbanan do not follow the majority. The Gemara rejects as proving that the Rabbanan go with Rove even when the majority is not before us. So, the woman whose husband died overseas and decided to fly a kite while she was waiting to hear if her tzara was pregnant was embarrassed when it flew over 9 kosher stores in one trefon and landed on a piece of meat right in between the wives of two brothers who claimed their husbands had passed away. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that if the wives of two brothers return from overseas, and this one says, my husband died, and this one says, my husband died, zo asur mifnei baal shozo, zo asur mifnei baal shozo. This one is prohibited to marry a stranger on account of that one's husband, and that one is prohibited to marry a stranger on account of this one's husband. Rashi explains that each woman is prohibited, for perhaps each brother-in-law is alive, and they are chayv in yibum. They cannot rely on each other's testimony, since we learned in the Mishnah that one of the women who is not believed to give testimony that another woman's husband has died is her yibimta, her brother-in-law's wife. So once again, the woman whose husband died overseas and decided to fly a kite while she was waiting to hear if her tzar was pregnant was embarrassed when it flew over 9 kosher stores in one trefon and landed on a piece of meat right in between the wives of two brothers who claimed their husbands had passed away. All right, now it's time for four blabach hazara. Daf Kuftes Vav. So the simmer Daf Kuftes Vav is a katoris maker. So here goes. The katoris maker's wife, katoris maker, that must be one Daf Kuftes Vav. The katoris maker's wife, who said there was a war going on, where her husband had died, which reminds us, the Gemara asks, if a woman established for us that there was a war in some part of the world, what is the halacha regarding believing her that her husband died in the war? The Gemara attempts to bring a proof from a case where a woman is believed when she says that she and her husband were attacked by idolaters or listim and her husband was killed. The Gemara rejects this proof, saying the reason we believe her in this case is that she stayed with her husband until he actually died. As Ravidi said, Ishikle Zaina Allah, a woman's weapons are always upon her. The Mefarshim explained that it's presumed that the idolaters or bandits will spare her life to have illicit relations with her. Therefore, she could remain with her husband to see that he died and not need to flee like she would in the case of a war. So the katoris maker's wife, who said there was a war going on where her husband had died, was approached by two women for perfume, since they smelled like fish from being at sea, where they identified two drowned men. Which reminds us, the Gemara asks, what's the halacha regarding an eid echad, a single witness, who testifies to a husband's death during wartime? The Gemara brings an incident where the wives of two Chachamim and Chachamim were permitted to remarry based on the testimony of a woman who saw them drown. Now, since drowning is akin to dying at war, and the testimony of women, even 100 women, is considered like the testimony of one witness, we see that one witness is believed that a husband died at war. The Gemara rejects this answer, saying the situation was where the woman said, they brought the bodies up in our presence, and we saw them immediately while they were still identifiable, and they said the simanim, the marks had identified them as the Talmid Chachamim. Therefore, the rabbis did not rely on their testimony, but on the simanim they saw. So the Ketores maker's wife, who said there was a war going on where her husband had died, was approached by two women for perfume since they smelled like fish from being at sea, where they identified two drowned men, who had the exact same names as two other men who were traveling. Which reminds us, Yitzhak Reish Galusa, the son of the sister of Vivi, was going from Kartava to Aspamia when he died. They sent the following message from there. Yitzhak Reish Galusa from Kartava died. The Gemara asks, Michai Shinu Latrei Yitzhak or Lo, do we need to suspect there are two Yitzhaks or not? Abai said we must be concerned, and Rava says we do not need to be concerned. Daf Kuf Tez Zayin. So the Simmer Daf Kuf Tez Zayin is a barber giving haircuts. So here goes. The barber, that must be more Daf Kuf Tez Zayin, barber giving haircuts. The barber listening to his customer talk about the strife he was having with his wife, which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Kufya Dalad Amun Beis stated, Katata Beinola Veinam B'Shalom Ba'olam Einan Amenas. If there was conflict between him and her and peace in the world, the wife is not believed to say her husband died when they were overseas. The Gemara here asks, Heki Dami Katata Beinola Veinam. What is considered conflict between him and her? And concludes that it's when she says, you have divorced me in the presence of Pony and Pony. And when the witnesses are asked, they say, it never happened. So the barber listening to his customer talk about the strife he was having with his wife overheard the judge waiting for a haircut advise a woman on the phone to dress up and look like a mourner, which reminds us Rabbi Yehuda the Mishnah said regarding a woman testifying that her husband died overseas, Lom Einon Amenas Elin Kenbasa Bochu Begadel Kruin. She's never believed unless she comes weeping with her clothing torn. The Chachamim responded, Achazov Tinasa, whether one woman displays signs of mourning and another does not, they're both believed and are permitted to marry. The Gemara cites an incident with a woman who came to Rabbi Yehuda's basin to testify that her husband had died. Some rabbis there at the basin told her to show signs of mourning by crying over her husband, tearing her clothing, and disheveling her hair. These were but held like the Chachamim that she's believed without showing signs of mourning, but they knew Rabbi Yehuda would not permit her to marry unless she showed such signs. So the barber listening to his customer talk about the strife he was having with his wife, overheard the judge waiting for a haircut advise a woman on the phone to dress up and look like a mourner, and that it was okay her husband died during the olive harvest and not the grain harvest. Which reminds us, the next mission states that Beis Hillel said regarding believing a woman who testifies about her husband's death, Oshamanu al-Babamina Katsur Ba'os Medina, we have not heard this tradition except in a case where she comes in the grain harvest and in the same country, Ukamaisa Shahaya, as were the circumstances in the case which is the basis for this ruling. The Gemara explains that before Beis Hillel retracted this ruling, the rationale was that a woman would be afraid to lie in a place where the incident occurred because her testimony could be contradicted by others. Beis Shammai's reply would be she would still be afraid to lie even where she testifies that he had died in a different country because caravans bringing people from that country are common. Daf Kuf Yud Zayin. So the Simmer Daf Kuf Yud Zayin is a gabbai with a set of keys. So here goes. The gabbai's wife, that must be on Daf Kuf Yud Zayin, gabbai with a set of keys. The gabbai's wife, who was not permitted to remarry when she came to Beis Din and said, my husband, who loved his keys more than me, died, give me my ksuba, which reminds us, the Mishnah states regarding to what extent a woman is believed when she testifies that her husband has died, Beis Shammai say, tinasa v'titol ksuba sa, she may marry and collect her ksuba. Rav Nachman said, but if she said, my husband died, tenuli ksuba si, give me my ksuba, we do not give her the ksuba, and we do not even permit her to marry. The reason is a daita ksuba asai. She came to Basin for the purpose of collecting her ksuba. Rashi explains that she had come for a monetary issue, which requires two witnesses. So the gabbai's wife, who was not permitted to remarry when she came to Basin and said, my husband, who loved his keys more than me, died. Give me my ksuba. Nor was permitted to marry when her father-in-law's daughter testified that he had passed away, which reminds us. The next mission of the Daf states, regarding testifying that a woman's husband had died, Hakol ne'amanu ha'ida chutzma chamosu bas chamosu v'sarasu v'yibintu bas bala. Everyone is believed to testify for her, except her mother-in-law's daughter, her tsar, her yavin's wife, and her stepdaughter. Rashi explains that they're not believed since they hate her and intend to cause her harm by lying. The Gemara asks what the halach is with regard to a bas chamia, her father-in-law's daughter from a different wife, and leaves a question unresolved. So the Gabai's wife, who was not permitted to remarry when she came to Basin and said, "My husband, who loved his keys more than me, died. Give me my ksuba." Nor was permitted to marry when her father-in-law's daughter testified that he had passed away. Was finally permitted to marry when a single witness testified to his death, even though a second one came after and contradicted his testimony. Which reminds us, the Gemara explains that if one witness testified saying he died, and based and permitted her to marry on that basis, and then a second witness comes before she remarries and testifies to the contrary, she does not leave her original state of heter. This is because, as Zuhal said, wherever the Torah believes a single witness, it's as though there are two witnesses there. Therefore, even if a second witness comes and testifies to the contrary, the words of one witness are not significant relative to the words of two witnesses. Daf Kuf Yud Ches. So the Simmer Daf Kuf Yud Ches is Kichel. So here goes. When the Tzaros came back from overseas, and the first wife said her husband died from eating too much herring, and Kichel, Kichel, that must mean one Daf Kuf Yud Ches. When the Tzaros came back from overseas, and the first wife said her husband died from eating too much herring and Kichel, and the second one said he did not die, which reminds us, the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis stated, regarding two Tzaros who were overseas with their husband and then returned, if one of the wives said regarding her husband he died, and then one said he did not die, the one who says he died may marry and collect her ksuba, and the one who said he did not die may not marry nor collect her ksuba. The Gemara answers that the case of the second Tzar saying he did not die was needed, for we might have thought that the second Tzar knows that the husband is dead. But she said he did not die, because she intends to ruin the first Tzara, hoping that she'll have to remain an aguna, even though she's hurting herself as well. And she's saying, like Shimshon said, Tamus Navshi im Plishtim, let my soul die with the Plishtim. Therefore, the Mishnah is teaching that in this case, the second Tzara can still not remarry. So when the Tzaros came back from overseas, and the first wife said her husband died from eating too much herring and kechel, and the second one said he did not die, Basin recalled how this man was Mekadosh, one of five women with kechel, which reminds us, the third Mishnah on the Daf states, Kiddush Achaz Mechamish Nashim, Ve'ein Yidei Ezi Kiddush, if one was Mekadosh, one of five women does not know which one he was Mekadosh, and each one says, Osi Kiddush, he was Mekadosh me, he gives a get to each one, and places a ksuba payment between them, and withdraws a coin to Rabbi Tarf. The Mefarshim explained that he doesn't literally place the money between them, but rather he places the money before them in Basin, and challenges each one to prove that she's the one who's entitled to the ksuba. Rabbi Kiva says, this way we'll not get him out of doing an avera until he gives a get and the ksuba payment to each and every one. A similar case is brought regarding a man who stole from one of five people and can't remember who, and they all claim that he stole from them. So when the Tzaros came back from overseas, and the first wife said her husband died from eating too much herring and kechel, and the second one said he did not die, Basin recalled how this man was Mekadosh, one of five women with kechel. And even though he always complained that kichel wasn't crispy enough, his wives preferred to stay married to him instead of being single. Which reminds us, the Gemara taught that if one grants a get to his wife through a third party, in a place where there's strife between the husband and the wife, it's not a schus for the wife. As Reish Lakish said, Tavu mesav tamdu mele mesav armel, it's better to live as two bodies than to live alone. A woman prefers to stay in a difficult marriage than to be single. All right, so that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.